Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. All right, it's time to hear from the coaches, Gary Anderson and Jay Hill. We hear from every Friday from 11 to 12 right here on The Zone Sports Network. Let's start off by welcoming the head coach of the Weber State Wildcats, Jay Hill. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, Jay.
Good. What's up, guys?
Doing all right. Can't complain. How about you?
I'm good. Hey, in the introduction, when you guys were bringing me on, I was just thinking about Hans, you got to get a new, like, radio name, because Scotty G's kind of like a stripper name, and then there's just Hans. Like, we got to well, get, like, something a little more exciting or something.
Well, Jay, nobody really wants to see that, so.
Did you just say what I think you said, Jay?
Well, we do need to come up with kind of a better nickname for you.
Oh my gosh, man!
Oh, that's
Scotty
funny.
G. That's perfect. That's like the best radio name, and then we just gotta spice up Hans a little bit.
Well, you know, I don't know how exactly to do that, but I'm sure Gary's sitting there. He's got about 10 cuss words he could think of for my name.
Gary's called us a few words before.
Yeah, Coach Anderson, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just shocked that Jay went with that.
Yeah, I know. We've never had to drop the dump button before, but that's
Sarah's
here we go.
Have something to say about that one, I promise you.
did you guys have to use the 10-second delay on that one?
No, we're okay.
No, we're fine. Right. Hey, I want to start with this, and Coach Hill, we'll start with you. How much more do you know now than you knew last Friday at this time?
A lot, actually. They approved the calendar on Wednesday. Now, we had a good idea what the calendar was going to look like, but it did get approved, so we can start practices starting Monday. So actually quite a bit. And then we have a good outline as to what the spring season will look like in FCS football, when the national championship game will be, and when the playoffs start and all that. So, yeah, we do know quite a bit more.
How weird is it that you could be playing playoff games all the way to May?
Yeah, weird. The national championship game May 15th, and playoffs start, you know, you got to be done with your season April 17th, I think, is when it was. So it's going to be weird. We could be playing football games February 20th. That's where it's really weird for us.
Coach Anderson, how much more do you know just from the Mountain West Conference standpoint from where you were last Friday?
Well, quite a bit. There's been a lot of discussions throughout the obviously with coaches, administrators, and everybody that in between. And so there's some direction. There's a thought process to be able to play. I think I know this. Everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to get a calendar and a decision and say when we're going and how we're going about it. And there's just so many pieces. There's so many layers to peel back as you go through it. It's simple to just say, oh, we're going to try to go play. But, you know, and coaches are in that boat. Let's give us a date. Let's go. Let's play. Let's go ramp this thing up. And that's great, and that's where we should be as players and coaches. But for administrators, it's very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about through the testing and how does that work and how does our league work with the – you know, how many kids, just so many situations to look at it and say, well, when, you know, a lot of those rosters, the Big Ten has what they have. 5% of your team is out. You're out for 7 days, 21 days out if you get tested positive. Well, our roster size is so much different than their roster size. If, you know, 5% of our team is five guys or whatever it may be, six guys, as you look at that, and that are actually out there practicing and playing. So, you know, that's stiff, and if that's right, that's right. But I think the administrators are trying to look through their position groups are another thing. You know, how many old linemen do you have to be able to play a football game? You can't lose, you know, 10 old linemen and be out, or 7 old linemen and be out, whatever it may be. So I think we're doing a good job moving forward, talking, communicating. I know everybody wants to play as soon as possible.
Coach Hill, when you get that schedule, though, and that's beneficial for you because at least you know when the playoffs are going to be, but from your perspective, how many games do you think you need to play in a regular season to be able to hit the ground running for the playoffs?
Well, I think you have to play at least 4 or 5. 6 is perfect. 7 we can do. I think 8 is too many before you hit the playoffs, because then if you go deep into the playoffs, you're looking at 12-game season and then having to flip right around and start camp in August. I think that that's getting on the too much end. But I think you need at least four or five to make it worthwhile so that you know who's going to the playoffs.
So what does that do for you for spring next year? Obviously, it I guess, eliminates it. Are you going to be able to do anything more in the, you know, during summer? Will they let you do anything more to try to make up for that?
No, everything I've heard is they're going to try, as soon as the national championship game occurs, and this is for every level, they want summer and fall camp to be as normal as possible. They don't want any effect to next fall. And so I think summer will be pretty standard summer for us.
Hey, Coach Anderson, I was having a conversation with a guy that's kind of a liaison, a recruiting liaison, and I was talking about the 2021 and 2022 recruits, and he said that they're having a really difficult time getting the offers and getting the look and interest because of the log jam that we're creating. How concerned are you for the effects that this is going to have on recruiting for the next 2 years?
Oh, it's a huge concern for all of us. And like I've said many times, the big concern for me is just the kids that are in our state and in our recruiting cycle right now to be able to try to educate them. But it is going to cause some issues. It's ever-changing. You know, a week ago when we didn't have any idea if we would play or if we don't, and now we think we're going to play, that does open up some windows for the seniors to get a season, which is great. Now they'll still have that opportunity to come back, but at least it opens up more discussions and opportunities for kids to be able to say, yeah, it is best to come back. It's not best to come back. I'm going to go try to take that dream and play in the NFL or at the next level. You know, it's time for me to move on and go get into this job because I've graduated. So there's some closure, I think, for the seniors being able to play whatever games it is for us. You know, you'd like it to be eight and then potentially a championship game, which everybody's going to compete for right now and says they want to be in at this point, obviously. And maybe a bowl game, who knows where that sits. And maybe it ends up being six games because two games gets canceled or whatever it may be, or maybe we play seven games as a conference. But I think it's difficult for those young men. It's difficult for parents, coaches, everybody involved right now, and it will have an effect. The bottom line is it will have an effect, and probably not so much at the Power 5 level. I'd imagine most, if not all, Power 5 schools are going to just up their limit of their 85 scholarships, and if they've got 15 over, then they'll bump that thing up and get where they need to be and operate at that level for a year as a number of scholarships. And it's really for a semester. It's not a year that you're going for another scholarship. These kids are already on scholarship through the spring and can continue through the summer. So it's one semester you're really paying for those young men, the extra players over the top, or the super seniors, I suppose, is what we seem to all be calling them. But it's hard. It's hard for those seniors in high school right now, and it could trickle down to the juniors as we move forward. And education, trying to help them understand the situation.
You know, we were talking to longtime college football insider and one of the best in the business that's been doing it. And yesterday we had a conversation with him, and I said, would the NCAA ever reverse their stance that they took before, knowing that these conferences would be coming back and maybe playing a fall schedule? And he said there was no way that he believed the NCAA would do it, but he said that the conferences could make their individual decisions. Is there any way we could see a Mount West conference or a MAC conference make that decision and just say, hey, look, all of our seniors are getting a season and we're going to move on from this?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be a discussion, but I'm not sitting in those rooms, and I would hope not at this point. As much as it's difficult for the seniors and the juniors that are in high school right now, the young men that are in that position, you know, there could be teams. We sit here and say today that, okay, all of a sudden the Mountain West wants to play eight games. It's not feasible to sit here and really truly believe that every team is going to play eight games. There's going to be games that have issues, and I hope I'm wrong, but if you just look at the percentages, that's going to take place, and kids could get seven games, six games. BYU plays one game, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're shut down for a period of time, and how long until that opens back up? I mean, who knows? And you're looking at, you know, teams walking into very different situations. I believe it's Missouri going to play Alabama, their first game, and they're down, 12 kids or 11 kids or something like that. I mean, that is just not, that you know, maybe they have enough kids to go through it, and they have 150 kids on their roster or whatever, but those are going to make it very difficult to slide through a season to play eight games without having some type of conflict. And we all hope that doesn't happen, but again, the percentages would say that their season that we want to create for them is still not even going to be the season that they're all looking for. So I hope they all get to play again, and we'll deal with it as we move forward with the young men still in high school.
Coach Hill, when you when you're trying to communicate with your guys and tell them, hey, you know, keep your head down, keep working, we're going to find a way to get through this. I mean, before you got some clarity on what that spring schedule looked like, how difficult was it to keep their spirits up, knowing that there really wasn't a schedule in place yet and you really didn't know what the season was going to look like?
Well, it was really hard until what Coach Anderson was just talking about. Once the NCAA said that they were basically going to get to play a season for free,
yeah,
then it became easier to motivate them, because then at least they knew, okay, whether it's spring or fall, it's not going to cost me. So I think it would be extremely unfair to them to go back and change that on the last discussion. But, you know, I mean, we still don't have an exact start date, so there's still stuff up in the air. But these players were built to play football. They love the game. They want to play. And now it's just got to the point where they're just waiting for us to hear when it is. And they know that they need to be in shape. They need to be lifting right now to have a shot to play for something meaningful, you know, at the end of the season.
Coach Anderson, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the We're United front, because, you know, originally it started out, you had this insane pandemic, and then the players came along with the We Are United and had some pretty loud demands, and it leaked into the Mountain West Conference, and some of the players picked up on it there. Is this We Are United front, is it something that will continue? Is it something that's kind of fizzling out as you talk to your players?
That's a good question. I mean, we haven't really addressed that in our program at all. It hasn't been an issue or a problem. I think open lines of communication are important. There's just so much that you know, needs that this name, image, and likeness thing is going to continue to go through and through the process, and that's going to be very different at different levels. I don't see name, image, and likeness being a big deal in the Mountain West Conference, but I suppose if you're sitting in a recruiting living room and you're at Alabama versus Georgia, you know, then that could become a big deal. I don't think that's going to be a big deal at our conference, thank goodness. But again, it's right now, to me, it's like anything. It's the ability for the kids to be able to sit back and communicate. The things that we always talk about in our program is when we want to talk about things that, you know, I don't believe the format is to walk in and communicate and talk about it face-to-face, you know, not push send on a button. To be able to get the information that you need. So our kids have been really good. We haven't had many discussions about that. I've had discussions about a lot of things we've gone through these last few months. So not an issue in our program and not something that we've spent a bunch of time talking about.
I want both of you guys to comment on this. Coach Hill, let's start with you first. The dead period has been extended through the end of the year. Now, and again, I'm not asking you to comment on individual things, but I still see, you know, announcements of commitments and things along that. So you're still able to have contact with guys and you're still able to secure commitments. But with that said, not having that face-to-face and not being able to go to games and being able to sit down and chat with these guys in a locker room, how difficult has that been for you?
Well, it's hard because we were hoping it was going to open up maybe in October, and then rumors were it was going to get extended. I did not think it would get extended. Now it's January 1st, like you just mentioned, and we have certain rules. Like I told our coaching staff, I don't want to take a quarterback unless we've seen him throw in person. Like sometimes film can be a little deceiving on their throwing mechanics or exactly how they spin the ball. And so I don't want to take a quarterback without seeing him in person. Well, we don't get that luxury this year because we didn't get him in camp, and we don't get to go watch him play the one game that we normally get. So there is going to be some differences in how we evaluate. It's going to be strictly on film this year, and like we already mentioned, there's going to be fewer guys signed than ever before.
A couple of weeks ago, I sent out a tweet about how incredible these student-athletes are just across the board. Student-athletes are a different breed. They're just they're typically hardworking, good-hearted people, especially here in the state of Utah. And Jay, I wanted to talk to you about your football team showing up after all the trees blow over. And you're able to, you got about 30 guys out there over a two-day period to come out and help chop down trees and clean up a little bit.
Well, we did. We, with that huge windstorm, I mean, there were trees down all over Weber County. And we went. We actually had a morning workout that morning that started at 6, and I got up on the football field. This is 70-mile-an-hour winds blowing across the field. It wasn't safe. So we sent them all home, and then about 10 o'clock, it was just, I mean, we were just going to be sitting around. Campus had closed. There was nothing to do. I didn't want the guys just sitting around their apartments doing nothing. And as I drove around about 10 o'clock that morning, there was so much devastation and so much down trees, and they were laying on houses, laying on cars all over the place. I mean, that's the least these football players and coaches could do, is to go out and just try to serve the community a little bit and help clean up. I mean, that was not a big ask, nor did the players take it as such.
I get that. Like, I totally understand it, and I could see your point of view, but I just wish people could really see and understand how great these men are. That are in the communities, not just these men, but these women as well in their sports. You know, I've got these volleyball players that I'm trying to raise as college athletes, and they're just a different, unique, committed, supportive brand of kid. And, you know, when you see those things, and Coach Anderson, I know that your players have been a part of those things as well. It's just impressive. It's got to be fun to be around those kinds of kids, Coach Anderson.
Well, it sounds like a committed athlete is something that you struggle with, so apparently you weren't one.
hey, let's not talk about where I was. I'm not saying all of them throughout history and time were committed and good. I may have slipped up a couple of times, but, man, they're incredible.
Boy, thank goodness Lavelle had you by the nape of your neck.
So, nonstop. All the way up until about 2 years ago when he passed. He kept up with me and made sure I was on the right path all the way until he passed. So he was very committed to that.
I love it. No, it's awesome to have the kids be able to get involved. There's no doubt. And when we get in those situations, and we all believe this as coaches, I really believe this, as our kids learn and get as much out of giving back as they're giving back, if that makes sense to you. They learn so much. So many life lessons are learned about, you know, going out and giving a helping hand and being involved, and no matter how little the act is or how big the act is. So we're all, as coaches and players, we should be very, very excited to do that, and I think for the most part we are.
This is the Coach's Show. Jay Hill, Gary Anderson, head coaches, of course, of Weber State and Utah State, joining us here on Hanson Scotty. We're going to take a quick break. And coaches, I don't know if you know exactly what's going on down here, but this is a Friday rib cook-off. We've got four people cooking ribs. Scotty G is one of the competitors. He's currently pulling his cooked ribs off of the Traeger. We've got Bob Casper. You guys know Bob. Bob's down here. He's smoking. We've got two listeners that have their ribs on the grill. And then we've got a cast of celebrity judges down here that are going to judge these ribs coming up here in about a half hour. We start the judging process. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back to that and more. First of all, we're here at Ace having a blast at the cook-off, and we're hanging out with Skyler. Skyler, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. I want you to talk about a couple things. First and foremost, let's talk about this buy the tri-tip and get the ribs for free. What is this deal that you've got going on down here?
Oh, so they just added another bonus to all the deals going on down here today. So down over at the store, if you guys come down here, you buy one of their tri-tips and you get one of their baby-backed ribs for free.
So you buy the tri-tip, which is incredible.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal.
Is that a cooked or is that an uncooked tri-tip?
Uncooked.
Uncooked tri-tip. And then you're going to get the baby back ribs. You're going to get the uncooked baby back ribs for free.
Correct, yes.
Gosh, think about that, guys. You can have an incredible smoking weekend, and you get those ribs for free when you buy the tri-tip. So come down and take advantage of that. And then you get $100 off when you buy one of these Traeger smokers.
Oh, definitely.
$100 off, buy a Traeger smoker, and you get a $50 gift card to go use and buy some meat after that. Is that right?
Yeah, so I don't know why you wouldn't come down today, especially with the buy one, get one today. You get $50, you get free meat. You might as well come down today and check out all the deals.
Plus, you can come check out the competition. Again, Scotty G pulling the ribs off the smoker. We've got some amazing buffalo wings over here that have been smoked. We got some other sides that are on the grill. Come down and hang out with us. That's 6249 South Highland Drive. It's the Ace Hardware in Cottonwood. We'll see you down here. More Coach's Show coming up next.
This is DJ and PK. Jay Drew joining us, BYU football writer for the Deseret News. Do you have the feeling that most BYU guys are trying to follow the rules so they at least have a pretty good chance of playing, recognizing that anything can go wrong even if you're following the rules and they may have to postpone a game?
Yeah, I do. Around June or July, sources have told me there was an outbreak. They did have several guys test positive. At that time, there was some pretty stern shots fired across the bow from BYU administration to these players. There's 123 guys on that roster. You're talking about a ton of people, but I get the idea from the most part that the last couple of months they've done their best to follow the guidelines and protocols.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm stuck.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show, 97.5, 12 into the Zone of the Zone Sports Network. Gary Anderson, Jay Hill hanging out with us on another beautiful Friday out here. And we're just talking about kind of the return to play and all the news that's popped up. And I got to imagine, Coach Anderson, there's probably a bit of a stir and a buzz as you're trying to get players back on the field and back in the weight room. Are there a lot of guys that were away from campus that you're having to call back?
No, our kids were here. When we came back and we started school, we thought it was really important to make sure that they were here and trying to get back into the normal flow of school as much as they could. And, you know, we've had we got enough classes that are traditional, I guess you would say nowadays, classes where they can get the experience of a classroom at times. And our mentoring sessions, our tutoring sessions, our study hall sessions are all up and running, and so our kids were all here, and the energy and the juice and the excitement that they have, the thought of getting back to playing has been awesome to see and watch them continue to grow in our kind of makeshift practices we have right now. Obviously, we have shoulder pads and things on as we talked about a week ago, but our kids got juice and energy and excited about having the opportunity to get better every day right now in the weight room and in the film room, in the classroom, and on the field.
You know, I was just thinking about this, just the level of change we've made here on the radio station when we come out to these remotes and the hand sanitizer and the masks and the distancing. You know, we have to rope off and we have to go through a lot of different protocols to be able to hold a remote. I can't imagine some of the things you as coaches and you as programs have had to implement and go through. And Coach Hill, I want to know, how difficult is it to try to avoid and to try to keep this virus away from your team and away from your locker room as much as you can? How difficult is this fight against the pandemic?
Well, it is hard right now. The hardest thing, and I believe the biggest thing we face at Weber State is scheduling. Because right now we have to lift in four different lifting groups because you can only have 20, 25 guys in the weight room at one time. And we have to have split practices. And then you got to split your position meeting groups just because we can't put too many guys in one room at one time. And to schedule all that is a nightmare. And then on top of that, you have the hand sanitizers. You have to wipe down the bar every time you use it. You got to, you know, wear a mask throughout these workouts. Wearing a mask during a hard, tough workout is a chore. Yeah. So, I mean, there's stuff we have to deal with for sure.
Hey, Coach Anderson, are the guys responding well when you tell them don't go out to the nightclubs, don't go out and hang out with too much public? Do they listen? Are they doing what you're asking?
How long has it been since you've been to Logan? You know we don't have nightclubs.
Hey, I've been to the White Owl.
They run down to Chicago Pizza and Wingers and hang out at McDonald's, man. That's what we do. So hey. But nightclubs, not an issue. But other types of, you know, communication and where we're going, learning how to, you know, there's kids at Utah State. One of the greatest things is kids are so close to each other and live so close to each other that they hang out a lot. And that is a special part of this campus for not just athletes, but for the students. And I think if you talk to anybody that's graduated from here, they'll say that's one of the special things about Utah State as a whole. So, yes, educating them on that, like Jay said, and communicating with them, and they've got to make good decisions. And if they have someone on their team that is in a position that's not making a good decision, it's more important than ever in this situation. If they really want to play, they have to police themselves and understand that life is different, things have changed, and it's not going to be normal till who knows when. But right now, if you got a group together and, you know, so a group of offensive linemen want to, you know, hang out and do whatever, sit there and play video games or watch film together or whatever, and they're not masked up, somebody's got to step up and say, no, that's not okay. If we do that, it gives us a better opportunity to continue to play. So I think kids always continually need to be educated, and quite frankly, so do all the adults. Just follow the rules.
You know, Coach Hill, go ahead, Coach.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, let's be real, though, like, is that a fight with that age group? Absolutely. For a couple reasons, they don't fear this pandemic. That age group does not fear this pandemic, not the majority of them.
Yeah.
And they hang out and they go to weddings and they go to parties and they do all this stuff. And are they going to nightclubs? Probably not. But, I mean, that's something that is a constant fight for a football coach, is getting these kids to believe that, hey, we understand there's a pandemic going on and we're trying to end it and we're trying to get back on the football field. So for them to do their part is going to be critical in this role, but that's not what the rest of the students on campus are doing. They're out there doing their normal college life.
And, you know, I was thinking about this too, coaches. I was thinking about, you know, the different stages of my collegiate career where, you know, I was a redshirt freshman and the team would leave on a road trip, and if I'm back and home and alone and I've got my time, I'm probably on my time. But when they come back, and some of the veterans of that team were guys like Atula Mealy and Chad Lewis and Larry Moore, and we had a really solid leadership in that 96 team. When they come back, you know, they can lower the hammer, and they would self-police. I want to know, Coach Hill, if you've got guys in that locker room that are trying to police this locker room, and do you kind of lean on those seniors to take care of the freshmen and try to keep them in line as much as they can?
You have to, and I think that that's a key characteristic of all good teams. All good teams police from within, and the coaches really don't have to do much of it because the players have such great leadership and the characteristics that you need to be able to just get out in front, and when somebody's screwing up, just say, hey, we're not doing that.
Coach Anderson, are you kind of seeing the same thing with some of your veterans that are having to step up and tell guys, hey, cool it off with these weddings and these gatherings, or are guys paying attention to it regardless?
Well, you know, you hope they are. You educate them on it. Just all I can do is go by where we sit, and we're in a good spot right now, so I think we're doing a lot of good things. I don't think it's just because we're lucky. I think we're in a good spot, and our kids are truly working to make those good decisions. And, you know, I agree with Jay. I mean, you've got to have some – the kids have to when they leave the facility, they need to be able to be in a position to make good decisions as a team and be helped to make those good decisions. And, you know, they need to continually work on that. You know, for us, it's like they come into the locker room in shifts. Well, you can't come in the locker room and hang out, sit there and watch TV and be around each other as a team. You got to get in and out. And that's different. Is it normal? No. And it's going to be that way for a long time, so deal with it. But don't all of a sudden lose your edge in that setting. You know, wiping down when we do the training room, the meeting rooms, the training rooms, keeping them socially distanced in there and obeying the rules when it comes to that. All those things are difficult for kids to continually have consistency. And again, for adults to have consistency. But if we want to keep our percentages as high as possible, we need to make sure that we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk when it comes to taking care of the virus.
And that's a really good point. And, you know, just covering down south, watching this BYU program now go through a canceled game and something that they'd all worked so hard for, and it comes down to a couple of guys that may have not been doing exactly what they were asked to do. You know, coaches, I see that as a problem, because if I'm a senior and there were a couple of guys that weren't doing what they were supposed to do and I had a game canceled because of it and this might be my last season, it feels like, you know, there's chance that causes some real turmoil. Would that be a concern, Coach Hill, in your mind, if if one or two guys aren't doing what they're supposed to and a game gets canceled or a couple of guys get pulled, it just seems like it's going to cause some real controversy inside a locker room.
Well, I do believe it's a problem if the guys are just being blatantly irresponsible and the other players know it. People are going to catch this disease and people are going to get it. There's no stopping that, in my opinion. But if you're being responsible and you're doing everything the right way and you get it because a family member that got it and you didn't know and there was no symptoms there and you're around them on Sunday dinner or something happened, then sometimes that occurs. But it's the ones that are being just blatantly irresponsible that I believe could divide a team.
Coach Anderson, you feel the same?
Yeah, I agree. To me, that's the rules of the team are the rules of the team, and it's that I don't think that's just specifically set onto the rules that we've set ourselves up for COVID. That's how you represent yourself out in the community. That's how you handle your academics. That's, you know, we all have those team rules, and if people are in a position to break the team rules, the discipline philosophy needs to be upheld, and you need to handle it and take care of your business. But could that be an issue if all of a sudden it cost anybody a season? So obviously it's more impactful for a senior because their games are so limited, but that doesn't matter if it's a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior. If you're selfish and you're in a big position to affect your team in a negative way, then you know, you shouldn't be part of a football program, in my opinion, or a corporation or anything. You just go open your own business and be your own selfish self.
That's a good point. It's a good point, and it's just, it's hard to think back to think of all the different characters and all the different age groups. And, you know, the difference between a 18-year-old freshman Hance and a 20, 21-year-old senior Hance, it's way different, your thought process and the way you would handle your business. But I guess you're right, Coach Anderson. It really does come down. You've got protocols and guidelines and standards that are set, whether it's you know, going out and messing with COVID, or it's going out and drinking and driving, or it's making sure you're getting to class. Everybody's got a standard, and that's nothing new, right? This isn't anything new to these guys that they're having to follow certain guidelines to be a successful part of the team.
Correct, and a successful person, right? I mean, they're going to need that later in life, whether you're married, not married, or you're a parent, not a parent, in a family situation, and, again, out in every corporation, every work environment, there's things you have to do that if you make decisions that are negative, you're going to have to face the consequences.
And you continue to hope that these players will see that and the significance of it and continue to learn from some of the mistakes of others, too, and see these games that are canceled and take it serious. You're listening to the Coach's Show. Gary Anderson, head coach of Utah State. Jay Hill, the head coach of Weber State. Having a great Friday. It is a beautiful day. I hope everybody's able to get out, maybe get some golf. Come on down and check out this amazing barbecue competition that we got going on. It's the rib competition. The Lord of the Rib, as we call him, Scotty G, has his ribs off the smoker. He's giving me the fist pump, and he's giving me that confident look. I'm seeing, okay, and Johnny Lightfoot's already, he's already kind of tasted that a little bit. I see Bob Casper, he's licking his lips. He knows he's got a perfect set of ribs over there. I see a lot of confidence coming from everybody who's pulling the ribs off the smoker. I continue to eat these amazing wings. I just had a boneless, skinless chicken thigh. What was the rub on that, Jeff? That was the store rub. That store rub is incredible. I just took that down. So it is a great day. A lot of great barbecuing, great smoking. Tell me want more wingy. Ace Hardware here in Cottonwood, 6249 South Highland Drive. We'll be right back to the Coach's Show next.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Didn't he just say there's nothing the state is doing to stand in the way of college football? What? Your policy is in the way.
I'm not following that, really. Pro teams are doing it. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
What, is this your first day on radio?
I'll just let it ring out.
Hit the button.
Oh. I know, it's across the room. Jake, why are you calling me? Are you just doing that just to bug me now?
I am, I admit it. That was a low blow. Who's calling you this time?
I don't know who that is.
You don't have Lloyd's number in your phone?
Now Scotty's calling.
Phone's ringing, dude.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back to the coaches here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Man, I love these Fridays. I love being able to catch up with these two great men. Obviously, great coaches here in the state of Utah. Jay Hill with Weber State, Gary Anderson with Utah State. And, Coach Anderson, I wanted to ask you, as the picture becomes more and more clear for return to play, is the Mountain West Conference, have they been specific with conference only?
Yeah. To our knowledge and what we've been given is to play within the conference. Now Air Force is playing, and they were always going to play prior to even what's gone on in the last week or so. So my understanding is conference and conference only this year, which is if you're going to play seven or eight games in a potential championship game, you don't want any more games than that as we move forward. And you're up against the calendar for whenever that date is, right? The date that the bowls were given out, I don't know when that is, December 19th, 20th comes to mind, something like that, so you need to be done. So we're up against it as far as training camp goes. I do want to ask a question, though, too. So is Scotty on these ribs? Is he, like, on a Traeger, or what is his smoker style?
Scotty is on a Traeger, and, right. And he's currently – he's got his ribs off the Traeger. He's actually – I think he's throwing maybe the final – was that the final base, Scotty? Here he's coming.
Scotty, I would like to issue a challenge if I could.
Uh-oh. What do we got?
Yeah. I would like to put you and your smoker and your ribs up against Stacy and her smoker, and let's dance and see who wins.
Let's dance.
I like that challenge.
Done and done. Let's roll.
Yeah.
Jay and I would like to be witness to that as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm taking it's on, Stacey, Scotty.
I know how
you know where I'm sliding, my man.
Hey, I don't know, Coach Anderson. I'm just looking at him. He takes this stuff really serious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wait. She's ready. She's not a professional by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, how long does it take to do yours, Scotty? Give me a time. Give me hours. How many hours? Is it?
It's about 5.5 hours.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, we're about the same time frame. Looking pretty good.
So, yep.
Okay.
So yeah, no, we'll have fun, and I look forward to Stacy kicking my trash all over the place with that with her ribs.
Come on now. Okay.
Jay, do you get out on the smoker much? Do you do much smoking?
I do. Yeah, I like to just spend a Saturday in the summer and stuff and go out and barbecue. Sundays are good for that. So, yep, I do like it.
I'm going to send you both a picture of the table displays. There's about 25 different rubs and about 25 different sauces that are stacked out on these tables in front of Ace Hardware for people to look at, to come by. You can come buy them, but you got to see how much variety there is in rub and sauce out here. Like it's incredible what they're doing in the world of smoking right now.
I love it. I love it. It's good stuff.
Well, you prep Stacy, Coach, and coming up here at maybe at the back end of fall, maybe beginning parts of winter, we'll get that together with Scotty and Stacy. We'll go have a blast.
Love it. Let's do it.
Hey, coaches, thanks so much for your time today. Obviously, we truly appreciate it. And good luck to you guys. And probably next Friday, we'll have a whole new world of news and updates that we can talk about. So good luck through the next week, Coach.
Appreciate you guys. Have a wonderful week. Go Aggies.
There you go. Coach Gary Anderson, Coach Jay Hill, two of the best in the business, great men. Love having them on the station. Love being able to talk to them through this COVID period, getting an understanding of what their programs are going through, what their conferences are going through, what their kids are going through. So we really appreciate that insight. Of course, unique only to the coaches show every single Friday starting at 11 o'clock. We're down here at Ace, and we've got Amy. Amy is a chef, so let me understand this. You are the pastry chef of the store.
No, I am a pastry chef.
You are a pastry chef.
Yes.
So, by the way, so I got to tell you, I'm full-blood Danish. So,
me too. Well, I'm not full-blood Danish, but I'm part Danish.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
It runs through my blood. I talked to Scotty about just building some type of oven where I can do some type of Danish, some type of cream-filled Danish. When did you get into this?
I actually taught cooking classes and baking classes for a long time.
Oh, okay.
So I was an instructor and loved it. We're in trouble here if I'm going to be talking about food because it'll be hard to shut me up.
No, you roll on, man. We love food talk.
In fact, I've done a little bit of baking on the Traeger. Not my favorite. I like the smoke flavor. I like the smoke flavor and savory things,
yeah,
but not in chocolate chip cookies. Other people love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my thing.
It's not your thing? You're the traditional oven?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like to get the cookies on the oven. What's your go-to pastry?
My go-to pastry right now, I'm cheesecake.
Cheesecake's the thing, huh?
I think I was born to make it. Yeah.
What are the base ingredients? Because I'm not a – now, I'm a smoker. I'm not a baker. What's the base ingredients on a cheesecake?
So – cream cheese,
healthy,
sugar,
healthy,
eggs,
healthy,
and some vanilla extract.
So all healthy.
Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easy and
it's
healthy.
Like protein,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's all protein. It's all protein.
Yeah.
Amy, I appreciate you coming out, having a blast out here today. Really appreciate you being here. Just talk about this area. Talk about the store. Talk about the things that we got going on today.
Okay. You know, right now, it's been really fun seeing what everybody's doing over here.
Yeah.
Come and see the ribs, and it's getting really down to it to come and check out what everybody's got on their smokers.
It's getting intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can see these guys over there are just getting sharp and intense.
And I love ribs. It's not my favorite thing on a smoker. What's your favorite thing that's smoked?
Tri-tip right now.
Me too. Tri-tip, yeah, and turkey breast.
Yeah, tri-tip and turkey breast, mm-hmm, are two of my favorites. But yeah, tri-tip has been the go-to. And by the way, down here at the store right now, anybody that comes down and buys an uncooked tri-tip, you're going to get a rack of baby back ribs for free.
Yeah.
So you buy that tri-tip, you get the rack for free.
2 days of smoking. All in one go.
All in one purchase.
And, you know, those tri-tips are all seasoned. They're in the seasoning. And so all you have to do is open it up and throw it right on the Traeger, throw it right on the grill. It's so easy.
It's easy and it's brilliant.
And delicious.
So, Amy, right here in front of me, they just delivered two types of mac and cheese.
Yep.
I believe both of them are smoked.
They are, right on the Traeger.
These are both smoked,
yep,
mac and cheese?
Yep.
I got to tell you.
You gotta taste them.
This is literally one of the best days of my entire life. I don't know why every time we're at the store, it becomes one of the best days of my entire life. Appreciate Jeff. Appreciate Ace Hardware, the store. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you
for doing what you do.
Thanks for coming out.
And I hope you understand that people in your line of work are my favorite people on earth.
Well,
you guys are awesome.
And people who love to eat food are my favorite people.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, job security, right?
Yep.
We'll keep you in business. That's Amy down here at Ace Hardware. Come on, check out this place. Come check out the amazing rubs, the sauces, the grills, and take advantage of these great prices. $100 off if you buy a Traeger down here at Ace, and so much more. That's Ace Hardware at 6249 South Highland Drive in Cottonwood.